Hi there, friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide. And, of course, I'm joined in the studio every Tuesday by Pastor Justin Strauss. Today, we are looking at the subject that is unfolding right now, even as we speak. We're going to be looking at the war, America, and chaos in the Middle East. Well, it's been just 11 days since the war in Iran commenced. And the price of fuel in Australia, of course, has jumped significantly. Here in Adelaide in the last few days, we've seen the prices move from $1.69 to $1.79 to $1.99. And now the best price I've seen today, Pastor Justin, was $2.095 here in Adelaide. Mm. And that's unleaded petrol, and of course diesel is even higher still. You know, since the United States and Israel launched an attack on Iran, the maritime traffic through the Strait of Hormuz has come to a virtual standstill. And the Strait of Hormuz is like an artery with 20% of the global oil supply passing through this narrow passageway. So, Justin, how do you think this war is likely to impact Australians over the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, good day, Pastor Marty. It's a lot can happen, in 2 weeks. And I think this is having a massive impact upon Australians. I think it's really causing a lot of financial strain and stress upon people. I mean, let's just get down to the basic reality. Filling up your car is going to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
But that also has a ripple effect upon other things as well. So, you know, because goods and food require transport, and if the transport costs rise up, it will be reflected in higher prices. So, you know, essentially everything will go up, you know, from food, you know, even to flying, you know, just everything will go up. And I think that's going to put a lot of inflationary pressure upon people. So, you know, and I think this will also have the effect of people will have less disposable income, you know, to eat out and, you know, take the family away. And so businesses are going to suffer. It has a massive effect upon the whole economy.
What about you guys as a family? Have you and your wife, you've talked about, well, you know, you guys, I mean, you know, is it going to impact you guys personally? Are you guys going to make, you know, some changes potentially?
At this stage, no, not really. We don't really, you know, go out or, you know, eat out, you know, so we just live a pretty simple life.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm not getting up into this whole tiz of, you know, fear and, you know, because a lot of people are anxious and fearful. Yeah, it's not nice going to the, you know, gas station, you know, to fill up with fuel. But, you know, we take it as it comes. Every day I trust in the Father's, you know, guidance and provision, and we take every day with Jesus and we'll be okay.
You know, this is very true. Yet at the same time, I must admit, I'm starting to sort of rethink, you know, just normal driving. I'm just going, you know what? Okay. If I don't need to go there, I'm not going to go there. Mm-hmm. And if I can, I'm going to carpool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and, you know, I mean, because it's so expensive. And yet I was also looking online and realizing and thinking about the fact that, hey, whilst the pressure is here in Australia, definitely, but there's some other countries that are actually being more heavily impacted by this sharp rise in oil prices. Countries like India and Pakistan and Bangladesh and, you know, Thailand. These are some of the countries that are being hit, you know, even harder. And, you know, in some of these countries, it's like life is already more difficult, you know. Mm. And so I think it's important to, like, yeah, keep some of these things into perspective as well. But hey, you know, as we come to our World Watch, we're going to keep chatting about this same subject. And today from Al Jazeera News, we read that the U.S. President Donald Trump has threatened to hit Iran 20 times harder. That's a quote from President Trump. If it stops oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz, hours after saying the war could end very soon. In the same article, it said large crowds have gathered across Iran in support of the new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei. Excuse my pronunciation there. As in Tehran, they say that it's not the U.S. who's going to determine the end of the conflict. They say we will. And so, Justin, you kind of got both sides here, who are really claiming to be in control of the outcome of this war, do you think that this war is likely to end very soon?
That's a good question. I normally am very reluctant to tune into mainstream media. I like to listen to, podcasts and, independent military analysts. And I do. I've listened to quite a bit in the last week. And there's no clear sign that the war will end soon. It was thought by America and Israel that this would be a very quick operation. And, maybe it's just a couple of days and the war will end. But this war could potentially drag on for many months. And obviously, the longer the war drags out, the greater the negative impact it will be on billions of people around the world. Because this war effectively is affecting everyone on the planet. This is not just a local war that has no significance to it has only significance to a few people. So it really has an international impact upon the world. So will the war end soon? We don't know, Pastor Marty. I personally don't think that this war will end very quickly nor easily. Iran, I believe, has been preparing for this war for decades. They knew that this war would come. And so this is not a Venezuela. Iran has been around for almost 3,000 years, and they're a very tough nation. And so they've been preparing this for a long, long time. And I believe that the war will only end if both sides agree to negotiations, all right, or one of the sides runs out of munitions or runs out of firepower. I don't see how there can be another way that the war will come to an end, because clearly, Trump is trying to bully Iran into surrendering, but Iran is actually being very stiff in its resistance to American aggression by saying, look, we are going to stop this war on our terms. And the thing is, if you look at Iran, they have a lot of economic sway because they control the Gulf of Hormuz, where 20% of the oil comes from. And many of the oil tankers are stranded there unless you're from Iran's allies. They will let you through. And so Iran actually has great bargaining chips. And so everything is very, very on a knife edge. I mean, what if Iran decided to start blowing up those oil tankers? Then things could get very messy. And, ultimately, I believe that God is sovereign, that even though the chaos and conflict reigns in this world, God sits upon his throne and nothing is above his divine decree. And so we just have to trust that God will help us through these difficult times. But this war is very complex. It's not an easy war. It has the potential of spreading a lot wider, and already it has. I mean, Iran has been bombing many of the Arabian states, but you could potentially get China involved and Russia involved. It's a very complex war, and I don't think it's going to end very easily nor quickly.
Yeah, this is a very serious situation, I suppose as we come to a passage of scripture, I want to just hear your thoughts, Pastor Justin, on this. When we read in Matthew 24, this great chapter where Jesus is talking about the signs of the times, the signs that would show us that we are living in the end times. Now, of course, we've always had wars. This world is full of wars and conflict. But it's interesting that Jesus speaks about wars in the context of end times. And Jesus, I'm turning to Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. And Jesus says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Well, that's an interesting thing, first of all. Jesus himself says, don't be troubled when you see these things happening. He says, "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Then he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So this is fascinating. as we look at what's happening in Iran, how does that relate to these words that we've just read, these words of Christ?
Well, definitely it's a fulfillment of what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus said that as we get closer to his coming, that there will be an intensifying of global conflict. And so, you know, you rightly said, Pastor Marty, that we've always had wars in human history. I don't think there's been a single year in the last 6,000 years where there hasn't been conflict. But the problem is that with the advancement of technology, you know, our weapons are becoming more deadly and more destructive. And so, you know, having global conflict in these last days is going to definitely have more serious and severe consequences than it did, you know, 200 years ago. You know, we have the capacity to virtually wipe out the whole planet. And so it makes the warfare in these last days a lot more menacing, because we have the potential to wipe out millions of people with one missile. And so definitely these things are part of Jesus', prophecy that there would be an increase of wars. And I also want to read something from Luke 21. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 25 and 26. Now, Luke 21 also deals with the signs that would precede the coming of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and in the earth distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and waves roaring." So Jesus spoke about distress of nations with perplexity. Don't we see that now?
Absolutely.
People are perplexed. There is distress amongst the nations. And Jesus said, "Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth." And so Jesus was very clear. He was very transparent. He basically pictured a world that would be in deep distress. And this would involve global conflicts and wars and famines and pestilences. And so all these things that we are seeing now is actually fulfillment of what Jesus said almost 2,000 years ago.
You know, as we see, obviously America is at the forefront in this conflict, and we're going to be talking about the role of America in Bible prophecy today. And so I don't want to sort of jump the gun there, but I just want to sort of highlight this fact that the book of Revelation actually deals with the fact that America, the United States of America, is going to play a very significant role in end time events. And so for students of Bible prophecy who understand that America is going to be one of the key players in end time events, does this kind of an event shock you? You know, does the power and the sway and the influence that we see America having, does that shock you in any way, Pastor Justin?
No, it doesn't. America is the greatest military and political power upon the face of the earth. And so for those who know Bible prophecy and who study the Word of God, especially the book of Revelation, Daniel, it comes as no surprise that we can see America being at the forefront of, you know, these conflicts around the world. And so we're going to unpack this in the Bible. And this is what I love about the Bible, is that, you know, the Bible is not some antiquated book, but actually the Bible is so relevant to the times that we're living in. And this is going to be really fascinating as we break it down, as to see how America arose and the role of America in these last days.
I'm really looking forward to actually going to the book of Revelation with you, Pastor Justin, and let's unpack what the book of Revelation says about the role of America in the last days. We're going to come to some music and then we'll be straight back. Don't go anywhere.
And I long to
Song As the Deer, and I believe as we see the world literally in chaos, that really this is the longing of our hearts. And I think of that old gospel song as well. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And, you know, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, there is strength. And my friends here at Faith FM, we want to give you a free giveaway today. And every week here on Faith FM Drive Time, we actually have a free giveaway that we offer. And these are fantastic books. And this one in particular for this week has really got my attention. It's from the author Steve Wahlberg, and he's known for being a real expert when it comes to Bible prophecy. And he's written a book called The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. Now, of course, this is based off Revelation, and particularly Revelation chapter 17. And right now, people want to know where the world is headed. They want to know what role will America play in end-time events. And they want to know how they can find certainty and hope in a world full of uncertainty. And my friends, I highly recommend Steve Wahlberg's book, The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, based on end-time Bible prophecy from the book of Revelation. For anyone who is listening today who wants to be prepared for the future, you know, this book is a must. Let's just have a quick look at some of the chapter titles in this book. Chapter 1, Identifying the Bloody Woman. Who is she? Who does she represent? 3 Seven-Headed Beasts, okay? Decoding the Seven Kings. America in Bible prophecy. There you have it. There's a whole chapter devoted to this subject of the role of America in Bible prophecy. Another chapter. Who is the seventh king? Next chapter, the mark of Rome. This deals with the mark of the beast, in fact. 10 horns against the lamb. And then finally, the final chapter is called That Great City. And my friends, to claim this free book for yourself, all you've got to do is text our studio number. And our number is 0488 808 11. I'll say that number one more time a bit slower. 0488 808 11. And send us the code SA for South Australia 407. Just 5 digits. SA 407. If you want to get this book from Steve Wahlberg, The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, a great book on end-time prophecy that deals with the role of America in end-time events, grab this book. Send us the code SA407. Send us that code, just 5 digits, to 0488 808 11. It's great to see messages coming through already, and I just want to just... yeah, encourage you. This is the time to really take seriously your Bible study and particularly the study of the end time prophecies. I don't know about you, Pastor Justin, but I just sense that things are moving at a pace that's remarkable. I mean, it was only a few years ago that the war in Ukraine broke out. Now we have the war in Iran. And, you know, it was just COVID was just a few years ago. I mean, we're just seeing global event after global event taking place. And I just don't think it's going to slow down. If anything, if my understanding of Bible prophecy is, if I have got a grasp on it to some extent, then I understand these things are going to increase in frequency and intensity. This is the time to grab a book like this one and really start to study and understand where things are headed. So once again, if you miss the code, it's SA407, and you're going to send that code to our studio number, 0488 808 11. Here at Faith FM, we just want to share the word of God. That's our objective. To be honest, we'll be totally honest. Our objective, we just want to share the word of God as clearly as we can. And we want to lead as many people to Jesus Christ as we can by God's grace. So text that number, claim that book for yourself. Pastor Justin, we're back now. And, the question that we're looking at today is this question of, is America really pictured in Bible prophecy? I see that you're open your Bible to Revelation 13, so I'm going to open mine there as well. Take it away.
Thank you, Pastor Marty. Before we actually delve into Revelation chapter 13, I just want to say this, that in these times of uncertainty and insecurity, that having a knowledge of the scriptures and especially of Bible prophecy, this alone will instill peace and confidence for the future. You know, I really believe that God wants us to understand Bible prophecy. Because if we don't know the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and we don't know anything about prophecy, we'll be left in the dark. And so God has revealed to us this wonderful light from the scriptures, so that when we see these political and, you know, religious and social events and natural events happening in the world, we need not be fearful, because we realize that these are all foretold in scripture, and that these signs point to the inevitable truth that Jesus is coming soon. And so I love Bible prophecy. I get excited when a preacher or a teacher says, now let's turn to the book of Daniel or Revelation. And I believe that if there's ever a time where we need to direct our attention and study to the Bible, and especially to Revelation, it is now. Now, Pastor Marty, let's get into the book of Revelation. And so, coming back to your question, is America foretold in Bible prophecy? Does the Bible predict that this nation, the United States of America, will play a key role in end time events? The answer is yes and yes. So we turn to Revelation chapter 13. And just to give a little bit of context, Revelation 12, 13, and 14 is really the heart of the book of Revelation. This middle section in Revelation deals with the final crisis coming upon the earth, and also the final triumph of God's people over evil and over sin. And so this is really an exciting segment of the book of Revelation. And so before we delve into Revelation chapter 13, we need to go back to Revelation chapter 12 very, very briefly. It speaks about the dragon being wrathful with a woman, which is God's church. A woman in Bible prophecy represents the church of God. And so you come to verses 17, because I don't want to spend too much time on Revelation 12, because you want to come to Revelation 13. But Revelation 12 verse 17 sets us up for Revelation chapter 13. And Pastor Marty, could you read Revelation 12 verse 17?
The Bible says, "And the dragon, who is the devil, was enraged with the woman, who is the church, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ."
Okay, so what does this Bible verse teach us?
So it's essentially saying that the devil is pictured as this dragon. We know that from verse 9. So the dragon represents Satan, who is enraged with God's people. Mm-hmm. And he goes to make war with the rest, or the old King James version uses the word remnant. And it just means the last ones left. This is talking about God's last day people. And they're described as those who keep God's commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And those are the people that the devil is particularly enraged with.
Absolutely. Now, if you go back in Bible prophecy and in history, Satan always uses secular powers to make war with God's people or against God's people. For instance, we have Babylon, we have the Roman Empire. Who was it that persecuted the Christians? Was the Roman Empire. It was Roman soldiers.
Yes.
It was physical, literal Roman soldiers. And so Revelation chapter 13 describes to us in prophetic language two great powers that will arise on the scene to make war with God's people. Because in verse 4, it says of Revelation 13, it says, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And so this idea of this warfare, this cosmic struggle between God's people and Satan's armies is very real. So there's a great contest here. And so there are two powers that arise up here in Revelation chapter 13. Now in Revelation chapter 13, you can divide in two parts. You have the beast from the sea, which basically encapsulates verses 1 to 10. And we're not going to be dealing with that now. But Pastor Marty, this first beast describes a religious political power that would arise on the scene. And if you read the characteristics of this power, that it would blaspheme God, it would persecute God's people for 42 months, which in Bible prophecy represents 1,260 years. And so basically this power is the religious political power of the Roman Catholicism. All right. So this is very, very clear. And so unfortunately we don't have time to break it down, but there are two powers described here in Revelation 13. The first one is the Roman Catholic power. Okay. So which reigned during the Dark Ages from 538 to 1798. Pastor Marty, do you know what happened in 1798? How did this power meet its demise?
Yeah, so in 1798, the French General Berthier of Napoleon's army marched into the Vatican, the Holy City, and he took Pope Pius VI captive.
Correct.
And the Pope ended up dying in captivity the following year.
Absolutely. So it was Pope Pius VI. This was on February 10th, 1798. And so when General Berthier entered Rome, he basically gave an ultimatum that the Pope renounces all his temporal and spiritual authority, which the Pope refused to do, and he died in exile. And it's interesting that it actually ends with this verse where it says, "He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity." That's verse 10. That's exactly what happened in 1798, where Pope Pius VI died in captivity. Now, Pastor Marty, now we're coming to the crux of today's discussion. In verse 11, it starts out by saying, which word?
Then.
then? Could we, does that indicate a time frame?
Absolutely. Definitely.
Because
the next thing John sees is this second beast.
So here he sees that this first beast from the sea, now it didn't die fully. It received a mortal wound and which eventually would be healed.
And it goes into captivity.
That's right. It goes into captivity. So its political and religious authority was severely dented. All right. So the Bible says the first word gives us an indicator as to the timeline as to when this next power would arise. So we need to be looking around 1798 for a next power. Now, let me just say this, that it's not out of character of the Bible to predict world nations. If you go to the book of Daniel, you know, it predicted Babylon and Greece and Medo-Persia and Rome. And so could it be that the Bible in the very end of time would predict world nations and kingdoms? Absolutely. And so here we see that there is another political power that would arise on the scene. Now, Pastor Marty, how many countries are there in the world? There's about 200. There's about 200. I don't know exactly.
240 or 240. Yeah, that
somewhere
about
somewhere
right.
around there. Now, if you had to take all the characteristics, the timeline, the characteristics, and go through and just filter, go through every single one of every country on the face of this earth, there would only be one that would fully comply with all of the biblical keys and characteristics, and that would be the United States.
That's remarkable.
It is remarkable. And so this power rose up around 1798. And so what's interesting, if you go back into the history of the United States is a young nation. Okay. And so let's read from verse 11 and verse 12. Can you read that for us?
Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Now, it's interesting that the Bible is giving us clear indicators of what this power is. And the first thing that comes to mind is that it comes out of the earth. Now, Pastor Marty, what does waters represent?
Well, we know from Revelation 17, verse 15, that John, you know, is told by the angel that the waters represent peoples and multitudes and nations and languages.
That's right.
So like a densely populated area like Europe, where you've got multiple nations and multiple languages.
And established cultures. And
that kind of thing.
That's right. And so the earth would represent the exact opposite. In other words,
yes.
This power has to arise out of a unpopulated region of the earth. It cannot be in the old world. In other words, like in Europe and you know, even
Asia.
In Asia, because these cultures have been around for thousands of years. And so the idea that the Bible gives over here is a young nation that would arise out of a corner of the earth where there is virtually nobody. Okay.
And it gives the impression, you know, that the Greek word of rising up out of the earth, it's like a seed germinating.
Correct.
This, it's very subtle. It's very gradual.
Very slow.
It's slow. It's kind of like, you know, imperceptible. You know, you go, you plant the seed, and then it sort of just slowly just emerges out of the earth. And that's kind of the picture that we're getting here.
Correct. So it arises into power and prominence over a fairly large segment of time. It's not just boom on the scene and it's powerful, but it's this nation is birthed and it's really small, and it rises into power and prominence. And what's very interesting, the United States declared its independence from who? From Britain, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1776. It voted their constitution in 1787 and adopted the Bill of Rights in 1791. So it's all around this time of 1798 where the United States started to have this political framework, having its constitution and the Bill of Rights And so this is very, very interesting when we look at the history of the United States. Another.
So this was written, I just want to sort of hone in on this, Pastor Justin, because this is written 2000 years ago by John on, you know, based on the visions he gets on the island of Patmos.
Correct.
And right here in front of us, we're seeing the description of the rise of the United States. I mean, this is just absolutely remarkable.
It is absolutely remarkable. And the thing is, like every one of these key indicators all point to the United States. It's not like only 90% do, but every single one of them. And so the first clue we have is that it rises around 798. It rises out of the earth, in other words, from an unpopulated part of the world. And then it also speaks about two horns like a lamb. And these two horns represent the two governing principles of United States, the civil and religious liberty. In other words, republicanism. Notice with me, it doesn't have crowns on the horns.
Yeah,
it's not a monarchy. It's not a monarchy. So it's a government without a king. And Protestantism is a church without a pope. That's right. And so there was clear line of distinction between church and state. There was no interference. Because, you know, in the old world, especially in Europe, you know, the state often imposed its religious dogmas and decrees upon the population, which led to persecution, opposition. And this is why there was so much, you know, wars and strife in Europe. But America was founded upon the principle of freedom. You could worship God according to the dictates of your conscience. And I'm actually reading here from the Declaration of Independence, these following words. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So freedom was enshrined and protected in its very constitution. So this is lamb-like, right? This is beautiful. This is a beautiful picture of innocence and freedom. And then another sentence here says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." And this is the First Amendment. So one of the greatest achievements of the American Constitution was the creation of a nation where there was a clear separation between church and state. And so United States was a land of the free and the brave. But the Bible says that...
Can I just jump in very quickly as well? The very fact that it says that it is like a lamb as well is very significant, because every time the word lamb appears in the book of Revelation, it always refers to Jesus Christ.
Correct.
Except for this instance. But by saying that this beast is like a lamb, it's saying very clearly, this is a Christian nation.
Correct.
This is a Christian nation.
Correct.
And so you've got a Christian nation that arises, a young Christian nation, because it's a lamb is a young, you know,
correct,
animal.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a young Christian nation arising in a sparsely populated area around the end of the 1700s. I mean, like you said, this only points to one nation.
Correct. I like what you said there, Pastor Marty. I think the word lamb is mentioned like 28, 29 times in the book of Revelation, but this is the only time it doesn't refer to Jesus. And so that has this implication that it's a nation that espouses Christian values and biblical principles. So that is very, very clear. And Pastor Marty, which other nation, just on verse 11, before we even get to the next verses, just on verse 11, you can build a solid biblical case that this can only be the United States.
I fully agree. Absolutely.
The Bible says that there would be a change, and so it had two horns like a lamb, but eventually it spoke like a dragon. And so there would be a change that would be coming, that this bastion of religious and political freedom would change over time, where essentially it would force people to worship in a certain way. It will trample upon people's freedom of conscience. And so this is very clear, that the Bible says that this beautiful, innocent, peace-loving, freedom-loving, you know, political nation arose on the world stage, and it was a bastion for freedom, but eventually it would speak like a dragon. And verse 12 says that it exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. So there is going to be a union between these two beasts, and together they will impose their decrees and dogmas and upon the world. And so, Pastor Marty, which is the greatest political military might in the world?
That's America right now.
And which is the greatest religious power in the world?
That would be the Roman Catholic Church.
Exactly. Isn't the Bible spot on?
Absolutely. The Bible is, this is the word of God. God declares the end from the beginning. He doesn't guess the future. He knows the future. And it's a great, like you said before, you know, when we know these prophecies, it actually gives us peace knowing what's ahead. We're going to come to some music now, and then we're going to keep going into this chapter of Revelation chapter 13. So don't go anywhere. And that was No More Night by the Heritage Singers. Such a powerful song, reminding us that there is a day coming where Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes and he will make all things new. Until then, it's so vitally important for us, as we've been sharing today, that we have a solid understanding of Bible prophecy. And that's why today we're giving a free giveaway, the book by Steve Wahlberg, a very well-known author, an expert in Bible prophecy. And his book is called The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. Is really dealing with the book of Revelation, in particular, Revelation chapter 17. Now, if you'd like to claim a free copy of this book, there's already been a lot of requests today. And if you want to take a request, make a request of this free book, we'd love to give it to you here from Faith FM. All you got to do is text our studio number. And our studio number is 0488 808 11. I'll do that one more time, just a bit slower. The number is 0488 808 11, and text us the code SA407, no gaps in between, just 5 digits, SA407, and we'll get you this book, The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, as fast as possible. Let me just go again through the chapter titles in this book. It's called, chapter one is called Identifying the Bloody Woman. Who is she? Who does she represent? 3 seven-headed beasts. Who are they? What do they represent? Decoding the seven kings. And then chapter 4 is America in Bible Prophecy. So if you've been enjoying today's presentation, and might I say, this is just such a vitally important subject, isn't it, Justin? That we understand the role of America in Bible prophecy and in end time events. And so grab yourself this book, free book. We'd love to give it to you. Send us the code SA407. Once again, our studio number 0488 808 11. And of course, the book also goes through who is the seventh king. It looks at the mark of Rome, which is the topic of the mark of the beast. Another chapter is called 10 Horns Against the Lamb. And then the final chapter is called That Great City. What a great book to be able to study and know these Bible prophecies more comprehensively. So we're back, Pastor Justin. We've been looking at Revelation chapter 13. And we've been particularly focusing on the second beast. And, what more would you like to share with us as we come to the top of the hour?
Thank you, Pastor Marty. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 to 18, the word worship is mentioned over and over again. In fact, I would say it's the whole book. Not just 11 to 18, but even from verses 1, the word worship. And so the issue in the final crisis will be the issue of, do we worship God, his way? Do we keep his commandments? Or do we follow a system that is opposed to God's commandments and his will? And so, you know, people get caught up in, you know, all these conspiracy theories and, you know, the mark of the beast and all this. And so people have a lot of theories, but I believe that the central issue in these last days is the issue of worship. And so when you read Revelation chapter 13, it seems as if that this second beast is a servant of the first beast. They work together. And it makes sense, Pastor Marty, that only a world dominating political and military power can do the bidding of the first beast. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, because verse 12 says that he's going to cause the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And so the obvious question is, what kind of a nation would have the influence and the power to actually bring about, actually cause, which is almost like using the word force,
coerce
the world into a particular way of worship.
And that word force is mentioned a few times, several times in these chapters. You read it in verse 15, you read it in verse 16. So this idea of cause means force. Now, it cannot just be an insignificant or irrelevant nation. It has to be a nation that has political and military and economic might. It makes sense.
Absolutely.
And so the United States of America is in prime position to do that. I mean, America is the most powerful economy on the earth. It's the most powerful military in the earth. And so this power will do the bidding of the first beast, and it will cause the inhabitants of the earth to worship this Antichrist power. And so what's very interesting, Pastor Marty, I just want to touch on this very briefly because of time is running out. But the question is America starting to speak more like a dragon? Is that the question? That's the question. Is it?
I believe we're seeing the signs of that, absolutely, without a doubt.
And I think this is going to be unpacked more tomorrow. So tomorrow, please tune in. That's going to be a great session. But it's very interesting. I just want to point out this, that the Heritage Foundation, have you heard of the Heritage Foundation?
I did recently, actually. Yeah, this is interesting.
It's an American think tank based in Washington, D.C. It was founded in 1973, and it has significant influence on U.S. public policy making. And recently they came out with this document which calls for a uniform day of rest on Sundays, advocating for the restoration of blue laws to limit commercial activity and promote family and spiritual life. And so there's this growing agitation in the United States to enforce and impose a day off in the week. And which day would that be?
Well, they're saying it in the article, Sunday.
It would have to be Sunday. Can't be Monday. Can't be any other day in the week. It's not going to be Saturday. It's Sunday. And so we are seeing this more and more on the news, and we don't have time to read, you know, the article, but you're seeing this more and more where there is growing call to impose a day of rest because it's good for family. It's good for the economy. It's good, you know, as a day of just, you know, being apart from all the economic activity of the day-to-day life. And it sounds good. It sounds innocent, right? It sounds lamb-like. But eventually, when we go down that path where the state will impose religious laws upon the nation, that will bring in a time of trouble that the world has never seen. And so we are clearly seeing indicators today that the United States of America is starting to speak more like a dragon. And we need to be very, very alert. We need to be watchful. Pastor Marty, can I end on a positive note?
Absolutely.
I need to read this Bible promise, and I really want our listeners to listen to the words of Jesus. You know, we look at the world out there today, and we see chaos, confusion, conflict. We see all these winds of strife blowing across the earth, and the natural response to this is to be perplexed, to be fearful. But Jesus says to each one of us in Luke 12, verse 32, Luke 12, verse 32, which is such a beautiful promise. And I believe that this is one of the most beautiful promises that Jesus speaks to us today in the midst of worldwide uncertainty. Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Pastor Marty, as we look at the world today, we know that the kingdoms of this earth are temporary. They rise and fall, rise and fall. And so all these kingdoms that the Bible predicted would come on the world stage will ultimately fall and fail. But Jesus speaks of an eternal kingdom that will never cease, that will never be destroyed, that will never be conquered. And so Jesus speaks to our hearts today, do not fear, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Pastor Marty, I want to be part of that eternal kingdom. I don't want to set my hopes upon this world, upon earthly might, earthly kingdoms. But Jesus invites us, he draws us to him, where he says, do not fear, because the greatest blessing is that the Father's good pleasure is to give us his eternal kingdom. Let's set our sights not only on what's happening on the world around us today, which is important, studying prophecy. We must stay abreast of prophecy, but keep our sights on that eternal, immutable, unshakable, immovable kingdom that is coming.
Would you pray for us as we finish up, Pastor Justin?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a sure word of prophecy, that in the midst of all the conflict and chaos in the world today, the word of God has predicted all these things, that it would come apart, that would come about. And Father, I pray that we will set our sights on thy eternal kingdom. Mm. Yes, Lord, we need to be informed. We need to be transformed by your word. But Lord, help us to grasp this promise that it is the Father's goodwill to give us your eternal kingdom that's coming, that will never cease. So Father, bless our listeners, bless each one of us with your peace. May we know that you are holding us in your right hand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I love that promise, and thank you, Pastor Justin, for sharing us with us today on Faith FM on this subject of the role of America in Bible prophecy. And tomorrow we're going to have Pastor Gary and Pastor David. They're going to be continuing this study on the role of American Bible prophecy. The question they're going to be answering is, does prophecy predict a change in America? So I'm sure that tomorrow's program is going to be absolutely powerful. Until then, I also want to leave you with this promise of Jesus Christ, where he said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. And it is so true that as we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, that he is the Prince of Peace, and that when he reigns in our hearts, we will also have peace. May God richly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.